Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 58, with your Paul and your Barry.
Hello, listeners, how are you?
They're all very good. Mm-hmm. They're listening.
They're listening.
I'm listening. That's Fraser. I'm listening. Is that mm-hmm. I'm listening? I'm listening. Right, so today's episode is called War Master Collector's Guide.
Yeah.
Very nice. I knew nothing about it till this morning.
Yeah, it's nothing like a surprise. And we'll come into that as the main topic. But,
So we're recording Thursday, the 4th of May, about 11:30 in the morning, having just played a game of Guild Ball.
Yeah, so I tried, listeners, to get him to play War Master with me, but he kicked me to the curb with that suggestion.
You get used to that, aren't you?
Sadly.
So I needed to play this league match because I don't want to hold people up, and we were next, so let's get it done.
Yeah.
So we got it done.
So we did,
That was all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's as aside from like why am I listening to a Guild Ball report, but its clock system like was interesting in terms of the way it finished, so that's kind of relevant to timed
games.
Well,
that's something that we could talk about, and that could be something that could be adapted.
Exactly,
because it's not a hard finish. It's hard enough, mate.
It's a different way to finish a competitive game, war game.
Once you go past your clock, you're going to struggle to win.
Yeah, but we'll come on to it.
Well, I did, certainly. Right, okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. So it's the week in Paul land. Unfortunately, Paul's come off a night shift, which seems to be his want. He plays war games after night shifts, then tries to talk.
So. Look, all right, we're just fitting this in.
He couldn't even remember how to set up for Guild Ball. I had to tell you how to set up. You had to look it up in the book.
Probably, but...
probably happened. Me, the man who's played no games of this game.
So, since we recorded last, I went away for that wedding. Brother-in-law's wedding, and thankfully...
And it was epic.
Thankfully, we got to the wedding without the baby being born, and we got back from the wedding without the baby being born.
Were you not allowed to drink, because of just in case?
I didn't go stupid yet. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So...
Very victim mature of you.
Victim mature?
I'm sure that was a character in, like... I can't remember which comedy show. Basically, when you reach that grown man, middle-aged kids, Skodas, and getting a new porch for the buggy.
Yeah.
That's an interesting. So Paul's trying to sleep through his night shifts in the day, and Hannah decided that she was going to get a porch built.
Yeah, just simply to have the somewhere to put the buggy
and the shoes.
Yeah,
and the coats.
Whatever.
So they've got
to get through the concrete to put this porch in, and it involves like drilling, and I'm trying to sleep, and it's like, and it's like, that's just ridiculous. Like, why does it have to be now off my night shifts? Come on. And it's like, oh, what?
Shell-shocked, like being in the fire.
It's like, oh, I'll go to bed now. Okay, oh, nice and quiet. Oh.
Sleeping in the trenches.
Delirium. Oh, the trees, the movie.
So that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
So you've done that, your wedding. Hannah's not given birth yet, very soon.
No, I mean, we were really playing
soon
with
enough
fire.
To build a porch.
Yeah. We were really playing with fire, but thankfully, we had to do it, because she's only got one sibling, and so we had to go. Even if it was the due date, we would have to have attempted it. And I totally get that, totally on board. I'm just glad that, because if we had given birth in Liverpool...
It'd be Scouser.
Well, that, but also, you can't drive very far with a newborn baby. She's read it somewhere, and thus it's got.
What do you mean you can't?
Well, so apparently...
Well, you have to feed it a lot.
No, apparently, if you put a newborn baby in a car seat, after half an hour, it can be damaging to the baby.
Hey?
Because it's newborn. I don't know. Some, like, hippie mum wrote this fact, and she believes it.
Blankets underneath.
I don't know. Anyway,
I'm sure that's the same.
So if this had happened,
if you crash, that could harm the baby.
Yeah. So if this had happened, I don't know. It's a 4.5-hour journey on open roads. I don't know how we would have got.
Oh, you'd done it over 9 days.
Oh my god!
Stopping every half an hour to find a B&B.
I felt like the fucking three wise men. They were just like, "Oh, let's stop at this inn and like have this, hold this baby." And it's like, "Do you enjoy these first days of your life? I don't."
I love it. The best thing when you've got kids, you go to the GP.
Yeah.
And the first thing they say, unless you take lots of kids with you, if you take one kid, they say, first child? Because they know, first child, yeah. Neurotics.
Yeah.
Parents are off the nut because yeah. they've got nothing to do but worry about one child.
Yeah.
When you've got like three, yeah. you just... Does he look that much different to the other one? That's fine. You still breathing? We'll worry about it if you're still breathing tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just like, Jesus, man. Because when you've got one, you get like super neurotic about everything. There's a new fucking pimple that's like, this eyebrow's bigger than this eyebrow.
I really hope Hannah is... But it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah. Neurosis.
And the thing is, because I do see these parents coming into my A&E department carrying a little baby. And you
it's meningitis! No, it's meningitis! I've read it!
I've got a story, man. You can see there's nothing wrong. Like, you don't have to be clinical to see there's nothing wrong. Like, they're literally holding this baby and they're going, the baby's not breathing right. And it's like, it's asleep. and it's asleep. And it's like, and you go, okay. And you know what we do? So we book them in. And then we send them to Peds, and we make it up. We make stuff up. Literally, we're like, because we can't turn around and save them immediately. It's nothing. Go away. We have to at least pretend to care. And so, like, so we after about an hour of pretending to do things, like waiting for results that we haven't sent, we then come out and say everything's fine. And you go home and get some sleep if you can. You know
what I blame? You know they had a baby monitor and you can you've got to turn that shit down. But now they've got like cameras and sensors under the mattress and stuff.
Apparently it's a sensor one. Like, if your baby stops breathing, it triggers. And it's like, it's a bit late, isn't it?
Like, no, because you can rush in and save it. And it's like,
what? This is like with the power of like God or something? I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
I just don't get that. Like, it's a bit final, isn't it? Like, yeah.
You've got video camera, you've got like this heat sensor, movement sensor.
It's like aliens, man. It's like, he's moving all around us, and it ain't us. Like, I'm reading it right, man.
God, I wouldn't go. For all the tea in China, I wouldn't go back to where you're going, mate. For all the tea in China. Joe talked about having a fourth one. I said she'd have to get a second husband.
Yeah. You better find a new dick, because this dick is out of commission. I'm putting it in a box and you can't open it.
Right, so good. So have you played any games?
Not well, I mean, apart from the wedding, it was a weekend, I was at the wedding.
Yeah.
And then.
Played today.
Yeah. I've been playing a little bit of more Total War because I was on the verge of.
Beating Janus?
No. Okay. I was on the verge of thinking my current Bretonnian campaign, I was done because my armies had been wrecked. I had one army left.
Right.
And I was like,
and
it had to take on two armies of equal size at once. And I was like, that ain't good odds. But Leon Kerr played a blinder, the king. He basically wouldn't go away. He was just like, he like, after my army had been long defeated, he stayed in it. And
on
he was just like, with his best matey knight on a Pegasus.
Right.
And his best elite knights. And they just hang around and killed stuff.
Green knight running around?
No, not green knight. I mean, I really should have triggered the green knight on that one. But Liam Kerr was hard as nails. And he actually won said battle. So I'm
on his own?
No, not literally on his own. But the computer just couldn't finish him off, and he just kept there.
So he came out of the tent. He'd finished knocking all the damsels.
Yeah, and he was like, "I am pissed.
I will slay you,
mon dieu." You're like, "Let's do this." And it's it was funny. It was like,
"For the lady."
And it's won this battle for me online, and
it was a wrecking ball.
It came in like a wrecking ball, and then. It allowed me to continue that campaign, so it's still going strong now. The thing is with the Bretonnians, because they just have to get a certain amount of chivalry to win their campaign.
You can go on forever.
There's no turn limits. There's no, like, when Chaos is currently kicking the ass out of Empire, it doesn't bother me. It's like, I'm still good. I'm just picking the fights that I can win. You get chivalry.
Anything else?
Apart from this Guild War game, no, nothing else. And I have done quite a bit of painting. I finished off another unit of Riesgard Knights on the night shifts, and I started painting some of those. Remember those greatsword miniatures the guy did? What's the company? What were they called?
Warmonger.
Dave. Yeah, so I've been doing the Empire greatsword miniatures, and they are lovely.
I don't Yeah. Lovely. And they were sculpted by a name as well. I can't remember the name, but it was a name.
A man who had a name?
A man with a name in the industry. So good for him, and good for Dave, and good for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And good for everybody. They're American-based warmonger, if you're interested. Mm. Go and look them up online.
Basically, if you wanted to get an Empire Army...
Or Dogs of War.
Yeah, or Dogs of War, you could get the core of the army, like all the infantry, from that warmongers, and they would be very fine models too.
Good. And in my week, because I think it's just about been a week. I think we did last Thursday. Yeah. Thursday. I have done. Is that right? We did last Thursday.
Yeah. Something.
Well, maybe it was Tuesday. I can't remember. So I've done Magic on Monday. It was the first draft.
We did it on Tuesday.
So there's 2 weeks of war game I thought. So it was like, no, are you sure? Because what did we do last Wednesday? Did I not play Jim? Have we not already talked about that game?
No. No, because. So, we recorded on Tuesday, you played Jim on the 26th, Wednesday, and now it's now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I better talk about that as well. Yeah. So, I'll talk about Monday. Amonkhet, it's a new set released for Magic. It was lots of fun. Egyptian vibe.
Ooh.
Egyptian
like,
vibe.
Like the mummy Egyptian, or like...
Like old school Egyptian, I guess. Okay. Yeah. That was good. So, they got like Egyptian-y mechanics. It was nice. I did all right.
Elvis and Costello?
Yeah. First draft, I tend to do shit, but this one I went 2 wins and a draw, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. I played Jim the Sage. He was using...
Beastman?
Oh, yes, he was. with the newfangled ambush rules, which aren't going to last very long by the looks of things.
Okay, well, but they are...
But I can talk about it.
Yeah, we'll come on to the committee, but the point is the ambush rules as they stood have to change. And it's the process of getting it changed.
Yeah, so getting the process right is the issue. Because where we've gone to is you could, in the same way Gutter Runners can, you could deploy brigades.
Yeah.
But we hadn't specified they had to be in the woods because dogs could be attached.
But they're these kind of things that are only going to come out through a bit of playtesting, aren't they? And like, oh, can I try that? And it's like, yeah, you can. Oh, we need to adjust that then.
So we played, and Jim didn't exploit it very much, but we had a table with a lot of scenery and we could only get a 4x4 table. So we had a 4x4 table with a shit ton of scenery. Yep. So that's like, that is a nightmare.
Yeah.
For me anyway, in general. But so we was deploying...
What was your army?
Lizards. Very stock lizard list. So 8 Saurus, 4 Skinks, 4 Cold Ones, 2 Pterodons. Fighty character for a change, ring of magic, normal stuff.
So
it was very, very, very difficult to protect my Cold Ones from dogs flying out of woods into their flank.
And that's fair enough. And it's like, but we, so it's something, a point addressed, let's amend it.
And the truth of the matter is that anything, it's not, dogs aren't the issue, potentially, but anything that hits you in the flank hurts. It used to hurt a lot more than it does now, but it still hurts a lot.
Still hurts.
So these, a unit of dogs hit the flank of my unit of Cold Ones. Mm-hmm. Over 2 turns, they did 24 attacks.
Yep.
Because that's what they'll do. Because they got 12 on a charge, 12 on a pursue.
Yep.
They're only taking 6 dice back.
Yeah.
So at best...
You take a stand.
I take a stand. Yeah. In return, he took out the whole unit.
Yeah.
And went into another unit.
Yeah.
And took a stand off that unit.
Yeah.
And then fled without any damage. Yeah. And you go, oh, shit. Yeah. He just took like 180 points for one unit of dogs in the flank.
Yeah. But at least they cost 40 now.
but he played them as 40.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's true that would have happened with anything in the flank. Even infantry could have done that in the flank, potentially.
Yeah, because they would get to pursue once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The difference is how easy it was to get in the flank.
Yeah.
Because he'd structured it so the dogs came in on an 8, because he put the hero really far up the field. And then the second order was just a 7. Yeah. So 8-7.
8-7.
That's pretty easy.
Quite respectable.
We had to amend that a little bit. So I think what's going to happen is everything has to deploy at least partially in the terrain.
Yeah.
So you can't have one unit in the terrain and the rest of them touching it, making
a
big shape.
And what that means is your dog unit, your Chaos Hound units, will have to come on a board edge.
They can still do damage from a board edge.
Oh yeah, no, of course. I mean, because they are still allowed to ambush, but they come on a brigade, which has to at least have half of it as the core troop type. And they're going to come on, and they have to come on.
That might not be how it finishes. I don't know. We'll have to play that and see how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't leave that as a brigade then, can you? You're going to have to pull the dogs off and order them on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it's a lot of restrictions, but it still is worth it's worth trying. Because, as I say, if you go get them in the flank or something, they do so much more work than their points. They earn their points easily.
Easily?
Yeah, easily. So it's but okay, the only, I mean, if they don't have those restrictions on, then they're like, you're saying Chaos Hounds can't ambush in a Beastman list. But they don't. They should be able to ambush because they are.
But they can't go in the terrain, which is where it was breaking down.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the gutter runners have to go in the terrain.
Yeah, but they, no. There's two ways gutter runners come on. They can come on a board edge.
Oh yeah, but if they're coming in the terrain, they have to be in the terrain. Yeah?
Yeah.
Does it say fully in terrain or partially in terrain? Or?
It probably doesn't say.
Okay, but they have to be in the terrain.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a difference, I think. Okay, we're working through it. We will find the answer. The bigger issue is around the fact that not only do you have ambush, but you have your potential free woods as well.
Yeah.
So you're setting up your ambush points on the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that could even be in a desert table. So you got this, you're fighting in the middle of Araby.
Yep.
Bringing your own four.
But luckily, you brought your woods with you.
You've got A3 split. What's that? So you've got A4, A5, and then you've got four A5 woods. I think that's how it turned out.
Combat woods, we call them.
Combat woods. So it was a good game against Jim. Lots of the Beastmen... He deliberately underpowered his Beastmen list. And I knew why he did it, because he wanted to try out the other stuff.
Yeah.
But they've got Saurus in that list.
Yeah.
Two per thousand.
Besticles,
yeah. And they're very, very good. And if he had those four Saurus, it would have made a big difference, because he was relying on stuff like...
No, you can only get two units. I think, are they max one?
Two per thousand.
Mm. Okay, well, why are we even asking? We can look it up.
Yeah. So he was relying on things like Minotaurs to do the work, but they're horrifically expensive, Minotaurs.
Yeah, Besticles, right in front of me, infantry, 4-3-5, max two, so you get four. You get a brigade of Besticles. Yeah.
He needed that.
Yeah.
For the punch.
Because off his feedback, I mean, this is straying into committee stuff, but like, there's questions over Centicles prices, over Minotaurs.
I think Centicles were reasonable, weren't they?
I mean.
Were they 80?
3-1. Like, there was a proposal again. Yeah, should they be 70?
I don't know about that. I'm not. I think the Minotaurs were the ones that stuck out as being like horrifically expensive.
Yeah, they're 120 for what they are, and essentially they can be duped. They're, because they have to charge. They could be led off their merry way, like unlike Flagellants could, but Flagellants are 70 points and Minotaurs are 120. True.
And what about Troll Slayers?
And Troll Slayers as well.
80 points, aren't they?
Troll Slayers are 80
points. I know they're not the same profile, but they've got about six of armour, so hardly worth worrying about. Just take the armour off them.
Yeah.
And the worst bit about them for that 120 points is they can be driven back by shooting.
Yeah, which
they got, ooh, that doesn't make any sense.
What I've been doing is I've done a product for the committee and the wider UU community soon, where I've listed all the units that are their standard cost. So the units that have no special rules. So that's no army rules that affect them. Yeah, they have no special rules.
Yeah.
I listed them as so they can make quite easy comparisons between the two. And some things do stand out off the back of that. Once we've addressed, like already, the Chaos Warriors, for example, that unit entry at 4-4-4 infantry looked really pricey at 150, and it does look better in this table at 140, but still at the top end your Chaos Knights and your Dragon Ogres do look really expensive.
Well, Chaos Knights are a different animal, aren't they? Dragon Ogres at 250, they were Jesus, a lot of points.
Yeah,
but I think that they were saying that was, people have said that's deliberate.
Yeah.
They're deliberately underpowered because you don't want them dominating.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But it also highlights a few other, to me, it highlights the inconsistency that is Huskarls, which don't have any special rules and are 95 points.
They're just certainly good.
They look out of place on this list compared to everything else.
Well, they're unique. Well, that will happen when you have a unique entry.
Yeah. And also, and now a second product I've been making is I'm listing all of the special rules in War Master. So like the unit special rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I've listed them all, I'll then, okay, so when this special rule is applied to this unit, you can see that it's a points cost of 5 or 10 points.
Yeah.
Because without it, the unit is generically that much. You know, like, because for those stats, you know, like the classic stat of 3-3-5 is 60 points.
Yeah.
You know, well, this special rule, the unit's 65 points or whatever.
Or with the Skaven special discount. Skaven discount.
Yeah, because it's a nerf, not a buff.
Special Skaven.
Don't open that can of worms with me.
But one interesting thing about the Beastman army, finally, is they don't have woodland kin.
No.
So they live in the woods.
Yeah.
They work in the woods, but they suffer the wood penalty.
Because they're not organised, are they?
They're not. The shambolic.
They don't attend.
Ragtag.
The Beastmen leaders don't attend officer school, do they? And like, you know,
haven't lived a thousand years.
Haven't lived a thousand years. You know, like, so no wonder they're like crap at it. You know, like, because they're all just busy shitting everywhere.
Well, that also makes the ambush rules slightly worse in a good way. That you're suffering the negative of being in the terrain. But if you're not in the terrain, because you're deployed outside, then you don't suffer that negative.
Like Beastmen, like, are just might makes right. Like, the leaders are the biggest beastmen going. They're not, like, thinkers.
They're doers.
They're doers.
Doers.
Doers get more dumb.
So it was a playtest game, and he underpowered himself, Jim, but he did lose in the end to the might of the Saurus.
The old ones.
He hamstrung all the cold ones, and the Saurus just had to win the day.
No, they're just saying the Saurus.
The Saurus did pretty good.
Yeah, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Who the thunk it? Brigade of four column-lined Saurus are pretty hard to take hold of.
Yeah.
Even when you charge them, they got 60 in the tank.
Yeah, but like, just
four support.
Just come on. Yeah,
come,
like
on come on in, little Minotaurs and Centaurs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, that was good. So we did that last night. I didn't do anything. Wifey came home late. I was going to play Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
I didn't make it. Mm-hmm. God damn. So that's for another day, Dark Souls. And that's my weekend war game. We played Guild Ball today, we might as well get that out of the way, I guess.
Yeah, let's chat about that. So it was basically me and Barry are in a club league, and we were due to play each other in this round six. And so I've been using Masons and Barry was using Fishermen. And we played a very tight game. Yeah, we're both about the same level at Guild Ball, which is good for us because neither of us feels like dominated. But in the tail of the game was that Barry, like, I was about to run out of time as well, but Barry ran out of time.
So let's just give a little bit of a brief.
Yeah.
So I get the ball, I do what fishermen do, I shove the ball up my shirt, I get like six momentum.
Yeah.
So I finish my turn plus six.
Yeah.
You haven't hit me, so you've got no momentum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So turn two, I go first, score.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
But Paul had spread himself out, so I didn't use my legendary to pin these guys down.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, from that point onwards, he got very tasty.
Yeah, before.
He used the centre field to starve me of momentum. I got fucking no momentum.
I've used that tactic before in games, if I can, because it's like, I remember early game against Dave's Morticians, I just momentum starved him.
Yeah, it's like I couldn't get any.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't do any damage, but and I did get the ball off you a couple of times, but then you got the ball straight back. It went backwards and forwards until he finally gave the ball to the man machine legend
Flint.
Handsome McFlint, who scored.
Yep.
So that put it at 4-4. But I discovered I was drastically out of position and had no one to pass the ball to.
Yeah.
I had to give it to Salty Dog, who hit at the back while Paul smashed.
Your team was a bunch of solos, not a team.
Team.
You know, you can't just have the superstars and expect them to do well. They've got to like play together.
Play nice.
Leicester City last season.
So, I think Paul managed to take a player out.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
There was lots of good shenanigans. Yeah. I managed to score a goal.
Yeah.
But in scoring a goal, I ran out of time.
Yeah.
So I went to 8-6, but the clock was up.
Yep.
Paul's clock was, he was, until that activation that I scored a goal, I had 3 minutes left, you had one.
Yep.
But my activation was long and complex, and Shark scored the goal.
Yeah.
But I ran out of clock.
Yep.
So I went to 8-6, and then Paul kicked the ball into a corner and the clock ran out, basically, because how the system works is every time I activate a player, including Shark, because that's when the time ran out, Paul scores a point at the end of that activation.
And when you get 12, you've won.
So I had Shark plus 5 activations, and the ball was in the corner, I couldn't score again, all my guys were tied up in the middle, and so basically the clock ran out and I gave Paul 6 points, did they call it?
Victory points.
Six victory points.
It put me in a very strong position because now I'm going to, my tally's going to automatically go up and I don't have to do anything. You know, I just don't have to lose in those activations Barry's going to have. You know, like through, his fisherman build wasn't going to take out my Masons.
Can't take anybody out, mate.
Some fishermen teams
can. I can push you off.
Yeah, some fishermen teams can, but you know, like, it wasn't happening for you this game. And when I made the ball at least 3-4 activations away of recovery and use, it's like, well, I've won.
You did win. So Paul won, I think it was 12-8 in the end.
Yeah.
Very nice.
If you stick that on the forum afterwards, there you go.
I'll contact him directly. Mm-hmm. It was a very interesting system because it wasn't that when the clock ran out, I lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was when the clock ran out, I paid a penalty for activating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. But the activations weren't optional.
Yeah. Because even if you activate and this player goes nowhere, does nothing, you still activated him, the opponent scores a point.
Yeah. So I don't know if there was any learns there for the death clock method we used.
It's
softer.
Yeah, it's a way of getting a finish. A softer finish, but basically when you run out of clock, you need to be on the point of winning anyway. You know, because
yeah.
You know, that is all you're going to get. Because
you're limited. Not only do you lose a point, you only get 1 minute per activation.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can't have like a 10 minute activation. You don't have it. You have 1 minute, and then
And then that stops the clock. You stop what you're doing. The clock goes to your opponent, and then when you activate again, a different person, you're giving away another point.
I guess if there was a way you could get a point or two, and that was enough to win, then it would work.
Literally, say you had 10, and you needed one takeout, or you were 8 and you needed a goal, and you're going to go for that goal, with a crazy, like a long shot over players, you might as well, because it's your only chance. It allows you to hit the ball one last time.
It's like a
proper football. The whistle's gone, the play continues, and the ball goes out of play, isn't it? Like in rugby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it gives you a chance. I'm not going to say it gives you a big chance, because it doesn't necessarily, but that's not the point, is it? You've run out of clock. At least you haven't lost automatically.
Yeah.
So you've still got a chance.
Yeah. For comparing it to War Master, though, because it's your whole you move your whole army in your turn, it would be trickier to do such a thing. But in Guild Ball, where it's single activations, for the most part, it works quite nicely.
I guess of all the systems you could have, it's the most elegant. So yes. Well played, you. That's the first time I've actually run out of time.
Yeah.
That was good. So we've talked about the Guildmore game. We need to say thank you, Mr. KR.
Thank you, KR.
We'll be tapping you up soon.
Yes.
Or Paul will.
I already have.
He's belligerent. He's tenacious. What other words can we use? Persistent. He ain't going to quit. So hopefully we'll get some nice prizes.
You're glad I'm all those things because I drive the machine.
With his eyes closed, admittedly, because he doesn't sleep.
Yeah. But I drive the machine, Barry, and thus...
The machine moves.
Things happen.
The machine moves.
Anyway, I've written off to KR to get prize support. They haven't replied yet. I won't let that go, because I don't. But I've already had a reply back from Madison Millstrom, who've been awesome for prize support in the past. And if they send us some more stuff, then we'll have a load of... Because we already have saved up a lot of Madison Millstrom prize support. So there'll be lots of Madison Millstrom prize support. To the point where... The prizes for like first, second, third might get you pretty much armies. That's how. Oh, certainly ranges of Manishtra Millstrom for a race. So like definitely racking up prizes worth winning. And I really like Manishtra Millstrom stuff. It's a good scale. It's normally well sculpted. Like in terms of like the designs. Jim's done Beastman from Manishtra Millstrom, hasn't he? Like that's majority of those models.
He sometimes uses proxy, so I don't know which is
what is what. But that's Ben Draken.
I was going to talk about this in the World in Wargaming. Right, okay. So World in Wargaming, what has been going on in Wargaming world then?
40K and 8th Age continues to get like released over what it's going to be, and it's looking more and more a carbon copy of AOS.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the profiles don't look anything like AOS.
No,
profiles.
But I mean, they will still go along the lines of this thing always hits on that much.
4-0.
This thing hits on combat on that much.
4-0.
It's going. What I was thinking there, because it matches the. It has the three matched ways of play that AOS does, and it also has initiative and battle shock, essentially, just renamed. Yeah, like in terms of you in a combat phase, you choose which combat fights first. You're like, in your turn, I choose this combat and they strike, and then in my turn, I choose this combat and they strike. Yeah, etc. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know that.
It's interesting. I mean, it's it's a way to do it. A way to do a game system. When you in a phase where you would dictate, like, not all combat, so it won't all happen simultaneously, right, basically.
And I think what they needed to do is, the game was horrifically complicated and spread way over too many.
At its core, at its core, 7th Age 40K is quite simple, but its core is long surpassed now. Like, and they in their own, like, because they've been releasing this stuff on the Warhammer community website, and the stuff they were talking about, basically, leadership, barely it applied at all in 40K 7th, because so many things were immune to it.
Right.
And it just wasn't, and they actually literally said this, it wasn't fun. That's what they said about their own game system.
Just too complicated, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, leadership wasn't working because it wasn't fun. And most things ignored it, and when it didn't, you know, so that's quite a strong statement. And Battle Shock is very simple. Essentially, it's, if your unit takes casualties, at the end of that turn, you roll a dice, add the number of casualties. For everything it's above your leadership, you take more casualties. There you go.
Right.
That's it. And that affects everything. Every unit will be a subject to that.
So not big monsters, they don't take extra wounds. Just
because they're not dead. It's not wounds taken, it's models dead. So if your monster of many, many wounds, well, he's there until he's dead. He's not taken, like, he's not, you know, but if he was in a unit of 5 monsters, they might take more damage, you know, if there was such a thing.
Okay.
If one monster died, you'd roll a dice and, you know, but obviously if you've taken only minimal damage, like you've only taken 1 or 2 casualties and your leadership's like 9, 10, you can't take any more damage, because rolling a 6 add 2 is 8, your leadership's 9, you can't take any, you'd have to take more damage.
Okay, well, if it's easier to play with kids, that's the success.
It's super simple. I've just taught it to you, like, and
it's a 4-page rule.
If the rule system is that simple that someone can understand it, who not be taught it, reading it once, we've got a simple game system.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean there's no, like, there's complexity in the model rules. I've definitely seen shapes. Shape playing recently, Age of Sigmar, and there was a lot of complexity going on there.
I think that the vehicles changed to have just wounds, and they know that nothing's capped at 10 anymore, like the profiles. That's a good idea, because it allows you to scale up.
Well, like strength's not capped.
So you know in 7th Age 40K, vehicles have armor values, and if you couldn't beat the armor value, essentially you couldn't hurt the vehicle.
Yeah.
Not a score. Vehicles will have toughness values and many wounds. So if the wound chart has no upper scale limit, it's potential that very low strength attacks could damage vehicles, except that the chances are very low and they have tons of wounds anyway. So basically, vehicles are argued that they're not really worth considering in 7th Age because they can be killed by one.
Thin vehicles, like rhinos and stuff. Yeah. Coffins on wheels.
Yeah, they're not considered worth taking, but in this version, if you convert the rhinos, so they have 10 wounds, they can at least soak, like, a couple of lascannon shots, at least, you know? Because the lascannon does, say, D6 damage.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, okay, we'll see how it pans out. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know whether to talk about this or not. We don't really generally do the 10 mil world wargaming world, but there was an interesting.
I've ordered a couple of units of Chaos Chariots from Laren Miniatures.
Laren, they're 15 mil, aren't they? From
I
Scotland,
don't know.
They're the ones that Jim showed me.
I think it was 10 mil.
All right.
They weren't L A R E N, I think.
Okay, I didn't talk.
Yeah, it was worth a punt, basically. As in these units weren't expensive. They were fine. I don't know what the website's under, actually, because it was a link that Jim sent us.
Okay, I can't find it. Anyway.
And they had a whole range of Chaos there. It's the only range they've got. But clearly, I guess the way the website's built up, it'll have more ranges. I was like, they look pretty fair. Chariots, crewed by evil men. And it's only £5 a unit. I was like,
happy days.
I've ordered 2. You know, just to see.
Can't go wrong, man.
Yeah, I was like,
you can't find Chaos Chariots anywhere, so you need some.
Well, exactly. I mean, there's a set of Chaos Chariots on eBay with a buy it now price of like 35, and it's like that's overpricing it.
Well, they'll probably get it.
I don't know. They're still there, but exactly. And I was looking at this thing, and I was like, the pictures look fair enough for me to willing to put £10 to it.
So I don't know. We don't talk about a lot of wargaming at 10 mil, but this was an interesting thing somebody showed, shared with me. I think his name's Andrew. I follow him on Facebook. And he was a backer of my stuff. This Blitzkrieg Commander, they released a third edition.
Yeah.
And then they had to pull it, like, straight away.
Because?
I don't know, people just didn't like it.
Oh.
Maybe people just, like, I don't know what changed or why they didn't like it.
This is Pendragon.
Maybe it's the fatal third edition, because War Machine Mark III was the one that broke the back of War Machine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. So if anybody knows the story of that or whatever, share with me on Facebook.
Something else is happening in the world. Oh, sorry, Gabe.
No, that was fine. Go on, what's happening in the world?
Something in the world of wargaming is the latest shiny White Dwarf is out, and that is the 40 years of White
Dwarf.
So we have White Dwarf in a power suit, power armour.
I used to buy it in the early 80s to read AD&D.
It's got a huge long article
about AD&D.
Go with a little thing about every White Dwarf. But I just wanted to bring it, like, to mention it, because it has in it Barry's favourite army at the moment, aesthetically.
It's like the equivalent of bringing the Daily Mail round and saying, ooh.
So there's a feature
Toys
here.
Toys lovely.
there's a feature here on the latest Sky Dwarfs. You know,
what is that gun there? What is that one?
That's like a Hoover.
What's that gun?
That's the Aether Chemist.
No, what is that gun there? What is he shooting needles or something?
I don't know, Barry. He's like sucking up the sky gold that they like.
It's a thing of rare beauty.
They're so nice. Look at them. Look at these guys fly. Like they're dwarves.
They look like they've got quite a lot of armour, considering they've got no armour in their fluff.
Yeah.
They're armourless.
Yeah, ups and downs. High manoeuvrability.
Well, they're flying balloons, mate.
Low armour. Weight of numbers. Yeah. But high guns. Because
very high
at the
guns.
End of the day, if you've got a blowpipe and I've got an assault cannon, I'm going to come out the top.
look at these bombs.
Maybe I'll just bomb you into submission.
That's all right, because I'm a skeleton. Carrying a bit of old stick. Bit of old twig, mate. Don't
yeah.
Me.
Like, eat this, motherfucker. Yeah, so anyway, all the vehicles, like the little mini one I quite like, but
I don't know,
it just hangs together well. But yeah, like the other ones are just a bit too big.
Really? And they've got
for a fantasy war game.
I don't know what this propulsion unit is. I don't know, I think that works underwater generally, that kind of propulsion.
It does look like a propeller, but it's
from
in
a
the
submarine.
Air, it's in the air.
Yeah. Okay. Fair dinkum.
Basically, Captain Nemo, like, got this is like his inventions, you know.
And this looks like the grill of a car.
it's an ancestor god.
I can't imagine. This is like you said before. I can't imagine if you're playing on a table with this, you'd want to use anything fantasy based. Because it would just look bonkers, wouldn't it? It's like I've got my unit of temple guard, and you've got your assault cannons and plasma rifles.
If you allow me to get into you, I might mess you up. You ain't going to allow me.
You'll probably find it quite good in combat.
Oh, but you can shoot into combat, so it doesn't really matter.
Out of combat as well.
Yeah, so it doesn't
shoot
really
matter. There are no rules, mate. If you find the rules, the rules are 4 pages, and if you can't find them in the rules, there's no rules.
There's no rules, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. I haven't looked at this one yet. I only bought
couple. It's not in the shops yet.
What's that?
Well,
it's special.
I have a subscriber, and thus I get it the early.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. I've got the vast majority of these. I bet they don't go back into the depths of time where
every
it was.
One, yeah.
What? No, it's not. Bollocks, mate. That's 97.
Yeah, we'll keep going back in the article, and you'll find either what Barry's looking at is it has an article for every like a little blurb for every white dwarf.
I bet it doesn't.
Yes, it
does. I bet it doesn't.
You're looking at it right now.
Because some of them were really great. Oh, well, there we go. I've got that one upstairs with the alien, the pair of aliens with the massive cone heads.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Judge Dredd on the front of that one.
Exactly.
So all kinds of stuff going on. Conan or something.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there we go. back in the day when it was just a role playing magazine.
Yeah, and that yellow one that was number one.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 77, June. Mm-hmm. Well done. Well done. Well, there's certainly there was a bit of fun about the Age of Sigmar. No, not Age of Sigmar. Age of 40K or whatever it's called. And they were saying there was like a press release.
Yeah.
And they're saying, will we be able to use our armies? Yeah, of course you will. And they're saying, will this be? Was, and then they say, hey, look, we're your new friendly GW. Yeah. We killed off that horrible ogre GW last year. The friendly, your mate.
Trust us.
But not to be fair, they're doing a good job.
They're doing really well. Yeah.
Good for them. Mm-hmm. Good for them. Because as much as people rag on them, they were the reason most people are playing war games.
They're the gateway drug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right. Gateway drug. Mm-hmm. Right, so what else is on our list today? We've got a main topic, we've got that topic, this topic.
It's the
main topic.
Main topic. Okay, so what we have here is a very interesting product made by a certain Christopher Orr.
Well, product implies he's selling it.
Okay, well, I call it a
project. It's a project, baby. Project. Something he's done for the benefit of himself and the community at large.
Yeah, which is a very admirable thing to do. And what it is a collector's guide for Warmaster. So basically, it lists on, from his own research and others gathered, this isn't finished yet. He asked my advice on, asked my opinion on eBay prices, but it's listing what things currently go on eBay and how rare they are. So it would help the new player to Warmaster. Oh my God, what a weird
thing. It would also help with the endless stream of, how much is this worth?
Yeah.
I found this box in the garage, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
Look, mate, here's the collector's guide.
Yeah, just look it up.
Fucking look it up, mate.
You look it up.
So, he said, but I want full eBay money. I want £190 for this. You know, Dragon Princes, I've seen it. what he's done, he's rated everything a scarcity, like from very common to epic, mm-hmm. or even unreleased. He's got price adjustments for if it's loose, if it's primed, if it's sealed in blister, etc.
Obviously things brand new in blister, brand new in blister sell more,
especially when you say they're brand new in blister and then all you've done is just tape the blister back up.
That's beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
So it's like in blister.
You're not, no, look at me, I didn't do that.
No, I'm not saying you did, but I bought something not from eBay, from the Warmaster community at large, and it's a new in blister. Well, you could define new. It's not used,
unopened.
No. The product was new, as in it hadn't been used.
Yeah.
And it was in a blister.
Yeah.
Although it had been out of the blister and then sell a tape back in the blister. It's that's very loose use of the English language, sir. But it was still on sprue and in a blister of sorts.
Yeah.
So well done.
A blister, not the original blister.
Yeah. What's left of the blister? Yeah. So he goes through each of the different armies, and you can see some of the things are a lot rarer than others. So, for example, he reckons that you can get a unit of Empire Knights for about £12, new in box. Whereas if you want Knights of the White Wolf, they're going to knock you £50,
because
they don't come up very often.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want Knights Errant from Bretonnia, 120 big squiggaloonies.
It's weird because some of the things.
I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah, why are they more rarer than others?
Because this is a 6-star rare, which is unreleased.
I suppose, yeah.
So that would be some of the big back in the day.
Something I suggested he does. Yeah, so people might get the stuff in original ways, other ways, buying them off friends, etc.
Finding garage,
yeah, or people not knowing what they're selling. But there's... But I said, the suggestion would be to list the other companies out there that do good 10mm stuff and what ranges they have. For example, if you wanted to do Orcs and Goblins,
Polar Fox
would be my
answer.
I've seen them next to them, they look good. If you don't want the trouble of finding things from other buyers on eBay, then I recommend that you go to Polar Fox.
Maybe for your Orcs and Goblins, you've got your Orc Warriors, but you want something looking a bit different to be Savage Orcs.
Yeah.
Because they're 6-star unreleased, £150 a pack.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe I'll get some Polar Fox to do that.
I mean, it really, what I'm saying is, for some of the prices that, that some stuff will go on eBay, if you want to spend your money on that, that's fair enough, but I would recommend you just go to an alternative company, really.
Certainly to fill up the ultra rare stuff.
Yeah, it's like, it's, you know, like in my opinion, Warmaster units, if GW was making them now, would probably cost £10. And I'm willing to pay that, of course. And I'm willing to go up to, say, 20 if it's something I particularly am after because it fills a gap in whatever. But I won't bid more than that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the, like, what's this, Siege, trebuchets. I just got a pair of trebuchets from Callista for about £5
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And because they're so bloody big anyway, the scale's irrelevant.
Yeah,
they're exactly. gigantic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I certainly wouldn't pay £60 a pop.
It's also a good way to list, like, for example, the Chaos Demons, where it's listed the different, what actual units there were. Like, for like in the army list, there's Chaos Hounds. Well, they're only for Khorne. GW only did, like, Khorne, you know, Chaos Hounds. Not Slaanesh ones, not Nurgle ones.
Right.
Yeah. So the Demon Army is naturally going to be many multiple gods list because they they didn't do the complete range in for each god.
Okay.
You follow.
It's got some really cool stuff on here. It's also got some Battle of the Five Armies supplemental metal stuff. Mm-hmm. And even because you get these for reasonable money. Well, reasonable comparative. I've seen these being priced for Lulan money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I've seen people want £120 for a Hill Giant or Storm Giant. Like,
yeah,
nah, come on.
Dreaming, yeah.
Well, I guess if you're willing to leave it on there long enough, someone might punt for it.
Wow, you're dreaming, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so this is a fantastic document. The guy who's done it is a guy by the name of Christopher Orr.
Yep.
And he said we can talk about it. Hopefully at some point he'll share it up.
But I mean, it's like he basically said it's not complete. So we're not sharing it. Because it's not our thing and it's not complete. Yeah, and
we'll talk about it.
But I mean, like, he was happy for us to talk about it, but like, with the caveat that that's the thing.
It's pretty near complete to me.
It was a very admirable reason he's doing it as well. Like, it's something he wants to share, like, on behalf for others in the community. It was like,
yeah, I mean,
it's
a
really nice thing.
Take a lot of weight off people asking constantly how much stuff's worth.
Hmm. And especially if it also listed the alternative companies and what ranges you can get.
I don't know if he has to go that far, does he?
Well, I mean, that's what I suggested.
Well, this is just GW. I'm only interested in GW. I know what the other stuff's worth. You can go buy it from the shop.
Well, yeah, but like knowing where it is. Like, if you, like, I want to collect Orcs and Goblins, I don't want to afford to pay the eBay price.
How good you want them to look?
Yeah, but like,
if you want them to look GW good, go to Polyfox. If you want them to look, if you just want lots of them for cheap, go to Callistra.
Yeah, well, that's what this guy could also have is suggestions. Like, that company makes this range. It's perhaps not as nice as that company that makes that range.
Like, okay, what I would say is there's quite a lot of that.
Because GW never made models for some armies, like Beastmen.
Yeah, what I would say is if quite a lot of that information lives on the Specialist Arms forum.
Yeah.
So rather than reinvent the wheel, this is very good, Christopher. I'd share this document because this is what people would like to see, and this would help people if they wanted to get into the game, not to overpay, and if people wanted to know what stuff's worth, here you go, this is what's worth.
I would call it the Ore Collection, personally.
Ore.
Yeah, I'd put your name in it.
It's a thing of ore. well done, sir. So, good. Warmaster Collector's Guide. What else we got to talk about? What's this? Are we really going to do this? I'm not really a big fan of discussing what else.
Okay, no. Are we going as an update to what's happening on Warmaster
Committee? Yeah, we do that. What's happening on the Warmaster Rules Committee forum?
Yeah.
We're getting bogged down, as always. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about the little bit of Black 80, and then we will not discuss what else, because they're still in a state of flux, I believe.
Yes, but like, I'm sure people are interested to know what is happening in that view.
Again, on the Specialist Arms forum, there's a lot of chat.
Yeah.
Some of it friendly, some of it not so friendly. But
that is diplomatic.
but at the end of the day, at some point in time, maybe what else will get sorted. If it was up to me, I'd take him outside and shoot him. Like an old dog.
Like Old Yeller.
Because the way I see it, they wouldn't fight. They wouldn't come out and fight.
You can't have fluff dictate rules.
They wouldn't come out into the Arab. They've gone into the desert. Have they
but you could say that they, about half the armies in Warmaster.
The dwarves would go and fight the Skaven.
Yeah, but like
they fight the elves.
There's some matchups that, like, because like in Total War, like there's some matchups that you're just not going to see because those two aren't going to interact with each other. Yeah, if you follow.
Sure, but they don't fight anybody.
Who?
Away From Home. The Wood Elves.
No, exactly.
Ever.
Like, they had to, in Total War, they had to invent, like, a reason why they would. And it's like, and that's fine, because that's the game.
They've
got to grow more trees elsewhere, basically. Yeah, it's like they can't be content with their original forest. They've got to go out and, like, grow more forests. That's what the Wood Elves are doing.
Right.
Yeah. So, sadly, that nice park in Altdorf was once a wood, and they want to, like, get it back. And sadly, all these nice buildings that the Empire, like, thinks it's its capital have to go. so it can grow this wood here.
That's a bit brutal.
Wood Elves.
Wood Elves.
They're dicks.
I think I could still say, on the scale of... where we're at, they're still the furthest away.
Yes, it's all relevant to, like, the event you're playing in, essentially. And as I said, I'm going on a month before my event, which is, or I'll say our event, on July the 1st. So in June, start of June, I will put out the tournament pack. You know, I'll email it to all the people who bought tickets.
That's what we've been talking about. Because your guys up in jolly Scotland,
yes.
Stirling,
yes.
On the weekend before your event, in late 24th of June-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
They've adopted everything, man. They've gotten the whole hog, the Winter Roller, Egomania. They've gone for the Tri-Wiz optional rules. They've gone for War Machine Revolution.
I mean, 05. I'm going to give the...
They've gone for the 14 lists that have been approved.
Yeah, I'm going to give the tournament pack, the update to Winter Roller, which I'll have done by June. I'll give it to them as well, and just say, this is for this. I've written this for my event, if you want to, that's there if you want to use it as well, if you want to, but up to you. Because I want in our event in July, I want people to be playing with the armies that we've adjusted, like the rules we've adjusted. Because they're all in my opinion, they're all for the better.
Well, definitely for the better. Yeah, I mean, it's not one way street. So if something goes wrong and it turns out that we've made an error, then we'll just put it there.
But that is the point of, like, as in I'll put in this thing, is that these army lists that we've releasing aren't set in stone. You know, it's a living world, a living document.
Yeah, well, it's not a living world, man. It's a dead world.
All right, it's a living document. Dead games isn't worth a living document. Yeah. So anyway, on the committee right now.
Okay, so I'll shout them out and we can tell them about. So, one more thing about Wood Elves. It's like a chicken and the egg with Wood Elves.
Yeah.
It's because you can't build the list till you decide on the woods, and you can't decide on the woods until you see the list.
Right.
Somebody at some point is going to have to say, this is how the woods are going to work, and then you can build a list to work with the woods. Because it's kind of like, there are two halves to the same problem. Yeah. And nobody can find a solution to the woods.
Try as you might, you can't spend that tax for you claiming you are for four times. You've got to decide what it's for.
Right, so I've heard Jim's suggestion, that you pay 150 points on woods. I'll soon stop you taking woods, but I'll take four woods. I've only got 1,400 points.
Yeah.
My command's going to cost me another 400. I've got my minimum core choice is about 600.
That's my army.
<It's> like, so I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think that was certainly our solution.
Yeah.
It's to make you pay for the woods.
Yeah.
And then you can have as many as you want up to four.
So essentially the free woods aren't free.
Yeah. Anything but free.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So first one on the list of things that have been approved was movement spells. No supporting charge.
Makes sense.
I didn't really understand how... But I suppose with the... It's all about rules lawyering.
Yeah.
Because it says you get to do it if you make a charge and supporting charge, if you make a charge, blah, blah, blah. So no supporting charge. Empire, weird enchantment clarification.
That was just a clarification on the language used. Mm.
So what was the... it's move to. The unit moves at half pace in all situations, even when charging, for example. If the unit counts all enemies as terrifying, minus one attack penalty, even when it's immune to terror-causing enemies.
Yeah.
Like your fanatics.
Yeah.
If the unit would normally cause terror, then it ceases to do so. Oh, it's not scary, so no more. And counts all enemies as terrifying, just like everyone else. However, if the target is undead or demon, it will not count enemies as terrifying, although all other penalties are applied as described.
Yeah.
Undead are hard to spook.
Mm-hmm.
So we will stop being terrifying, But it will not terrify.
Yeah.
And it will not suffer the terror penalty.
Yes, there's two debuffs in the spell.
Okay, Demon Army list. A change to the demonic instability, which was... This was taking a long time to get sorted out, this one, because it's a reasonably large change.
Yeah, yeah.
But one that demon players the world over said was needed to stop the...
The rampant abuse.
Well, it wasn't abuse, they just kept disappearing, didn't they?
Yeah, because they're magic, that's why.
So what the problem was, is if you lost a stand...
Yes.
And then on your stability roll, you rolled a one...
Yep.
The unit disappeared.
Yes.
So the whole unit.
You lost another two stands. Yeah.
Yeah, and a unit.
Yeah.
The whole unit.
Yeah, yes.
So what this is doing now is making that change that you only lose a stand. So if you've lost two stands and you roll a zero or one, you lose the unit because that's your last stand. But if it's that you've only lost one stand, you can only use another stand.
That's right.
Which is still punishment.
Yep.
But the whole unit doesn't go.
Yeah, and you can bring stands back by the summon demons spell, can't you?
Yeah. But this is the tournament list, so you've got to factor in the fact that you've only got three wizards rather than five.
Potential spellcasters, yeah.
Yeah, because there were five, that was too much. And there were some other changes in that list that were to the detriment of demon players.
Yeah.
So this is, I think the swarms got a lot worse, if I remember rightly. They lost armour and stuff. So the new change was if you rolled a zero or one, one stand is destroyed while the unit disappears. The demons fade away and are absorbed back into the realm of chaos from whence they came. Remove one stand from play. If a character is with the unit and the last stand is removed from the character is also destroyed too.
Dangerous.
Okay, well, could happen. So that was something that people said was needed and we listened and the vote was done and it has been approved. And then we've also got Witch Hunters and Demon Tournament List are now approved for action.
Yep.
So now we have 16 lists approved for action.
Yes, and 4 being decided on, I think. No, less than.
I'll tell you what's on the vote. The current votes out are Albion List, Chaos Dwarf, Goblins, Chaos Warriors coming down 10 points, Beastmen, Beast Herd Rules, which is a monster of a fight going on for that one. Now I think we're on proposal 3 or something for that bad boy.
Yeah.
It will get done eventually, but again, that keeps flipping backwards and forwards because it's tied on the woods.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it keeps getting pushed back to how does this interact with the woods rule when we don't even know what the woods rule is?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at some point, somebody's going to have to bite the bullet and sort out the woods, and then that may help us sort out Beastmen and Wood Elves.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. So that's where we're up to on that. We've got 16 armies now, we've got a billion changes, and we've got Alish. He is saying that War Master Revolution 1.0 is nearly ready to release.
Yeah,
that's good, big days. And then at some point, somebody's going to have to make a website for this.
Yep.
You can get a free website. It's not expensive.
No, exactly.
Free is cheap.
It just has to be free is cheap. It just seems to be functional, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's just not something.
If I was good with computers, I'd do it.
I'm not, but I will have a look at it. Now my workload's calming down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the final thing is Blackgate miniatures finish now. The Kickstarter's done, everything's been shipped out, although we still got 4 people not claiming their stuff, which is weird. I don't understand Kickstarter.
So they've paid their money,
yeah,
but they never sent you a postal address.
One person hasn't given me an address, no. The other three haven't paid their P&P, which isn't, 2 of them are in Britain. It's only a couple of quid. I don't really understand.
Do they not realise they need to, as in, what? Like,
I've sent them the same invoice everybody else, so yeah, most of the, and I've sent them contacted them through Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. But I talked to Sherman, apparently this happens all the time. They have like 5% of stuff never gets collected. And you go, because I guess you buy it and then you don't get it for six, nine months or 2 years in the Darkland story, and then you never bother getting around to get it.
Well, that's a shame.
Because you could have quite easily forgotten about that after 2 years.
Luckily, I'm persistent.
Assistant.
Okay.
That is a good word for you, sir. So that's all into bed now, and we've gone retail on the web store.
Yes.
And I chose to do something a little bit different. Hopefully it doesn't piss off too many Kickstarters, because I did it deliberately not to tread on their toes. So what I've done is offered no discount whatsoever on the actual product. So it's £9 a unit. If you want to buy 10 units, it's £90. There's nobody's getting for £7.50 anymore,
yeah,
like the Kickstarters did. But I'll do free post dependent on how much you spend.
Oh.
So in the UK, spend £25, get free post. In Europe, spend 50, get free post. And worldwide, spend 80, I think, get free post.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you're getting your discount. You're getting like...
More units to be kickstarted are coming.
In June, yeah, hopefully. If Paul can stay awake. Yeah. He's looking, he's flagging now. In June, hopefully, the second phase Kickstarter, which are the the Mammoth Riders,
yep,
and the characters.
Yeah, I want to see some greenings.
Include that's late, including the Sherwin Shaman Sherwin.
Shaman Sherwin.
Yeah, so that's good. That's good. I had an order today, which is very nice. So I'll post that out in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what's our plans for next week?
We can play a game.
Well, we might get a game of War Master.
Yeah.
You never know. Now the board's clear.
Yeah.
I'm not under any pressure from the... Because once you sign up to these leagues, you feel pressure to try and keep up.
But that is that's the point of
I know, but if I only play my games at the club, then I don't have enough gaming time. I've got to kind of jettison some games. So I've done that. I'm up to round 6 now.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. hopefully there could be some free time now to play mm-hmm. games.
Yeah.
Are you playing Jim?
Yeah, so... At the end of the month, isn't it? No, into next month.
No, I thought it was sooner than that, but I thought it was this month.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so next week we'll record an episode. Hopefully Paul will be awake. If you want to contact us, you can do the Facebook page
mm-hmm.
or warmasterfocused@googlemail.com.
Yeah.
And
tickets from a set of my event are on sale. The
event that you're playing in, winning prizes at.
Yeah.
My man, write the rules, sing the rules.
Yeah.
Spare player rules. Yeah. I'm refereeing Paul's playing.
If you want it to be that way, bro.
And I'll be the spare player then as well, won't I? Because I can referee and be the spare player.
Yeah,
because
so.
I just give him a game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you say, you've won this game, and then we'll play.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, good. So that was War Master Podcast episode 58 with Sleepy Paul and Barry.
Hey, you. Mm-hmm.
Good night.